Over 500 missiles have been found in the basement of Ivory Coast Presidential Palace. The arsenal belonged to former leader Laurent Gbagbo, who was captured on Monday by forces loyal to new President Alassane Ouattara. Other weapons have also been discovered around the city of Abidjan. Meanwhile, now that fighting has ceased in many parts of the city, people have begun to leave their homes for the first time in over 2 weeks. But many who fled the recent conflict are still worried about returning to Ivory Coast. Christian Aid's West Africa Regional Emergency Manager, Christina Roots, has just returned from a humanitarian visit to several countries bordering Ivory Coast. She spoke to Lydia O'Kane.
Looking at the situation, you have just returned from a humanitarian visit to several border locations around Ivory Coast. Tell me, from what you saw, from what you witnessed and what you were told, why were many of the people fleeing? Was it because, obviously there was a security situation, but was it because they'd nothing left, they'd no food? What was the general stories you were hearing about why they were fleeing?
Okay, there are mixed stories. Different people were crossing the border. They were all arriving in crowded buses, and they were coming. Myself, I was in the border of Burkina Faso with Ghana, where people coming from Abidjan region would go crossing Ghana and then enter Burkina Faso. So about half of the people they were entering, they were in fact Burkinabes, or people from Niger and Mali, who they were going back to the province of origin because they were migrants working in Cote d'Ivoire. And these people, they were just going to take safe places with their families and relatives for a while until the situation calmed down. Some of them, they were really reporting of major abuse, targeting mainly foreigners. So some of them, they were in fact quite traumatized and telling like direct witness of abuse or being abused or themselves. And then there was also people from the Ivorian people who were crossing the border, but that was not so much at that point of the border because they would be crossing rather to the west, what is the border with Cote d'Ivoire. And then you have also the people who are just going for like longer duration. So you have like all kind of people crossing the border. So it's difficult just to identify all of them in one category.
How desperate were many of these people?
Well, desperate enough because, like, for example, we saw a group of like three women about 26, 28 years old with 11 children under the age of six. So, I mean, they should be quite desperate to just go for 2 days in the bus through Ghana and then continue all the way to Niger. They left their husbands behind taking care of the property because they were really worried about looting. So they just went in the wrong with all the children crossing borders and they got all the way to Niger. So people were quite desperate, I think. And we are also worried that all that people coming back to Burkina, Niger and Mali, all the pressure they are putting in local economies and local families who are already quite poor.
Tell me, yes, people going to these countries and people coming from Ivory Coast, what have been and what are the general conditions?
Yeah, at the border point, there were some transit camps. So I have to say that the countries, Burkina, Mali and Niger, they are quite ready for this arrival because they already had that experience in 2002, where, for example, in Burkina, there were more than 200,000 people arriving. So they set up some kind of transit camp with some health people who are doing vaccinations, who are registered, the people crossing there. It's not the same level in all the border points, but more or less there is a system in place with lack of resources and all that, but there is someone waiting for them at the border. The problem, they are just in transit because they organize their own transport, so they continue to the province of origin. It's not a government-organized transport repatriation process. Well, they were all complaining about that. They were saying more than 30,000 people, they were trying to come that way through Ghana to Burkina, but they just didn't have the means to pay for the transport. So that's why people, when they arrive, they just continue. They carry on and they go to their villages, to their province of origin, and stay with relatives. So the problem is very difficult to trace them now where they are and what are their needs.
What about, I mean, you're with Christian Aid, but what about the situation with your aid agency and other aid agencies being able to help these people? Are there many of them on the ground that have been able to help these people?
Well, I'm in contact with all the different actions of Churches Together network. Because, as you know, maybe Christian Aid is part of a network of church organizations. And with that network, we are covering the whole region. I mean, there are people in Liberia which have a lot of needs with refugees going to Liberia. There are more than 120,000 now. There's people in Ghana who are also getting a lot of refugees because it's just quite close to Abidjan. And then it's us in Burkina and Mali. So we are kind of having information about what is going on in the area. Each country, the situation is slightly different because in Burkina and Mali, people are staying with relatives. So far, they are not just desperate for assistance. Depends how long it will last and how much food stock people have to help them. But for the moment, it's not like urgent need of assistance. But Ghana and Liberia, there are refugees, so they are just staying in very, very poor conditions. And we are, I think coordination is very important. We are sharing information with the other agencies. We are in constant coordination, also trying to advocate for the conditions for its own, and kind of working together also on advocacy issues.
Is the situation being made more complicated? Because you also have the situation in Libya, and you also have Libyans fleeing into other countries as well. Is that making the situation more complicated and more difficult?
Of course. One clear example is Niger. Niger just went out of a terrible food crisis in 2010. They're still recovering. People are still extremely vulnerable. And they are getting a lot of migrants who are working in Libya who are going back into Niger, plus people going from Cote d'Ivoire. I have to think these are very poor countries, and Libya and Cote d'Ivoire are the two main economic points in the region where everybody goes there to work. That means no more remittance, no more people to feed in the country now. And so we are quite worried about the situation in Niger mainly because they're really in a period of just trying to recover from a food, and having all these new people coming into Niger is not going to help.
Coming back to Ivory Coast itself and the people that you were talking to that were trying to leave and had left, the situation, when we'd all been hearing stories about, of course, the killings and major human rights abuses in Ivory Coast, yeah, during, of course, the war between Gbagbo forces and, of course, Ouattara forces. What were people telling you? I mean, were both sides responsible for killings and human rights? What was the general assessment that you were getting from people?
Well, I guess it depends where the people were and what the situation in the specific location, because people, they just don't have the overview of what is happening in Cote d'Ivoire. There's a lot of rural people coming just from their village, so they are not aware of what is happening in general in the political situation and security. So, well, people coming in this side, they are mainly people pro-Ouattara because they're Burkina, Mali, Niger, origin people. They are more on that side. So they were reporting of abuses from the pro-Gbagbo, but I think from my point of view, abuses were committed in both sides, and it's now time for justice and protection and reconciliation. But, you know, there are both sides, I think. But yeah, people were telling terrible things, like people being burning alive in public murders and kind of in the middle of the square village, or amputations and people just been killed in the farm while they were working. And they were also saying that they are target to foreigners. It's a lot of violence target to foreigners, so they were really scared.
Now we see that Alassane Ouattara is in office. He's taken up the post of president now. From what you were hearing from people, are people happy about that? Are there hopes that people can return, that they feel things will get better? What were people saying with regard to that?
Well, here people are quite happy because at least the fighting has finished. Also, there is still some violence in Abidjan. So, but I think for the moment they are just staying put where they are because the situation is still not clear whether they will be able to control the violence and the small groups operating in some of the Abidjan neighborhoods. So I would say people, they have not started to go back yet. And I think it will take maybe another week until people make their minds. And it will depend a lot on what is the condition they are living now. Is there with relatives that they can take them in the house for a bit longer? What is also the condition they left there, whether the house was loaded or the properties, the land? So it's individual basis decision. But people at the moment, I don't feel they are rushing to move back yet.
Well, obviously, there's a lot more to be done. He's just taken up office and the economy has been fairly tattered by the war. So obviously it's going to take some time for the economy, for infrastructure, things like that, to be rebuilt again.
Well, yes, it's not only the material aspect that is huge. is also the protection aspect, how people will feel secure enough to go back. And I think now the government of Cote d'Ivoire needs to create those conditions that people feel safe enough, both sides, because there are people who are maybe voting Gbagbo and they are now refugees and they are wondering if they go back, there will be some revenge against them. So it's a time where those conditions need to be created for people to go back, apart from all the material issues that they need to be also fixed.